After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast.
Welcome to After School Special Podcast. In the very beginning of this planet, there were rocks hitting, storms a-crashing, and the early man, or the Homo sapien, then used those sounds and made a beat, and thus became the start of music. And music has been in our lives for forever. There's probably no group of people that don't, you know, enjoy music other than maybe, I don't know, the Dutch. And then, you know, music is so important to all of us. And we want to share that importance with you. These memories that relate to certain songs in our lives, the songs that shaped us. And then also, we want to hear from you guys, your list, the songs that created you. And who's to say it won't get posted on the Instagram or maybe the Twitter, which is Twitter. We are going to tell you guys a couple stories. Stories about us, Aaron, Double D, Staff.
So I got to thinking, who do you think made the first music in human history?
Ooh, that's a good question, dude.
And what did it sound like? Do you think it was
It was probably just like a fucking fish frog coming out of the water, squeezing out a fucking couple tadpoles, and then splish, splash, they be taking a bath.
Yeah.
And that's where that song came from.
I think it was fart noises. Like, oh, what is that? That
has a beat. I could cut a beat to that.
Our caveman.
That's a new Taylor Swift album.
You guys are stupid.
Or caveman. They're trying to like impress the girls and they just came up with some beats. Oh, shit. And then the girls start dancing and that's how, you know, the club music started. Or it could have been.
What? I just see Encino Man. I just see Encino Man dancing to the beat of someone farting.
Yes. Yeah. Or it could have been like a baby's cry out of the womb. And they're like, oh, that's so cute. And then they were like trying to make harmonies over that cry.
And then you have someone in the background, like some old crone. Now get me that placenta.
Yes, but grunting, it was a means of communication more so than pleasure probably in the beginning. But the whole premise of this episode is the music that made us. And I was thinking while we were talking about this episode is the first mixtapes we all made, what stood out. So I know we have a list that we're going to say what influenced us the most at different periods of our lives. And who wants to go first?
All right, I'm going to do mine. So number five, I'm going to say
number five.
I was in third or fourth grade. This one song really stuck out with me because it was so popular, and that was Moments in Love. I didn't appreciate it until I got older, because
the baby making love, music.
Oh my god. Because they would play it on there, but it was so transfixing when it would come on the radio. And we talked about this before. Moments in Love was the song that goes bum 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 by the Art of Noise. It was very transfixing. I always found myself like wanting to hear that song, no matter what age I was. I've always wanted to hear that song, and it's a song that I've never outgrown. I've always wanted to hear it. So that would be.
I always think that's a sex song, though.
Yeah, it is. But at the grade when I got introduced to it, I remember hearing it, and just the composition was just so hypnotizing. I don't know what it was about that song, but yeah, it was very hypnotizing for me. So Art of Noise would be my number five.
They made that in 1985.
Oh, wow. That's the year I was born.
That's right.
Number four
would be if I had to go back. Casey and JoJo, All My Life.
Really?
Casey and JoJo, All My Life. My first girlfriend. And I was trying to find a song. So that was the song we looked for. And like, I remember
when I
went to my first school dance. I could never find another lover. It's more sweeter than you. Sweeter than you. Girl, you think close to me. You're like my sister. Close to me. You're like my brother. Close to me. You're like my brother. I forget the rest. You are the only one, my everything. Into you, this song.
Here we go.
All my life. Baby, I pray for someone like you. And I finally found you. So, yeah. So, I remember I recorded that.
Such a mature choice.
Yeah, man. So that was junior high. I recorded that on my boombox on a mixtape. So I remember recording that because that song really was romantic at the time. My first cassette that I bought, and this is going to be number three. My first cassette.
Number three.
From Walmart. It was Jennifer Lopez on the Six. I like J-Lo. I like it.
Oh, wow. Stunning.
Yeah. Jennifer Lopez on the Six.
Jenny
if you have
from
my
the
love.
Block.
Yeah. Now Jennifer Affleck. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. They just got hitched in Vegas.
Good for them.
If you have my love and I gave you all my trust, would you comfort me? Tell me, baby. Like, I remember. And my cousin was like, yo, you're weird. And I was like, I like J-Lo, man. Like, what can I say? Well, she wasn't J-Lo at the time, but like, I like Jennifer Lopez.
Came out in 1999. Like,
yeah, so I remember listening to that, and I got into her music, and, you know, I guess I was a little bit of a fan in my early ages. Number two is going to be, number two is going to be the Rolling Stones' Miss You.
Oh, yeah.
The 12-inch edition, the party disco mix. The reason why this one's important to me, because I used to listen to this on my iPhone. I used to listen to it, and I've always been hooked on the Rolling Stones, but this song in particular, and I never knew why. And I remember we went to Ferndale, you, me, and Aaron, and we were dancing with some of Aaron's coworkers from the job he was working at the time. His manager and I were dancing to that at the time. So that song always had a fond memory for me because I've enjoyed that. And the other reason why is a more familiar reason, familial. I had came home from the Air Force One summer just to look for some records to take for my record player because I had just bought a new record player. And, you know, they came back into style, record players and LPs. And I didn't want to go out and buy any LPs, so I wanted to go through my mom's. And I had an uncle, Greg, who was murdered, and he left his LPs at my mom's house. And I went through and found, like, Bowie, Kiss, that particular record I'm talking about, Rolling Stones' Miss You, 12-inch edition, and a lot of MJ, but mostly rock albums, Chicago, stuff that I liked. The very songs that I was listening to on my phone, he had all of those LPs, and I hate to say it, I bitched up and I got emotional because I never knew this uncle, but I knew if I would have known him, we would have got along great because our music taste was the same. He went by G-Dog. He was just like a pot smoker, like live life to the fullest. Like G-Dog. He was a biker. Yeah, G-Dog. Like he wrote that on some of his albums. This is G-Dog's album. And he was just one of those guys, man. Like he was the life of the party. I still have those albums at my house and I put them on occasionally. But yeah, Miss You. I always love that one. Ooh, baby, why you take so long? I like the
Get
Rolling
it, John.
Stones, dude. I do. Get it. I love the Rolling Stones. That song comes on, man. I'm dancing wherever I'm at. Like, I'm having them play that at my funeral. Like, that's the song I want.
John gets out of the casket, starts dancing. Like, whoa, what the fuck?
That's the song they playing when they carry my casket out. Like, it's gonna be
like gonna have it on the shoulders.
Yeah, the pallbearers have to dance to that.
I like that.
So
number one
is a more recent song, but I'm a huge fan of this band. You know, it's a tie. I'm gonna say it's two separate artists. So number one, Stevie Ray Vaughan. I love Stevie Ray Vaughan. I love the way he played Tin Pan Alley. Was a fantastic cut of that album. And I know this is going to sound crazy because they're not in the same genre, but the Arctic Monkeys. I like the Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah, I got into them late. Yeah.
Yeah, I got into them late. So Do I Want to Know is one of their tracks that it comes on very heavy, like that. And that track, when it comes on, you can't help but tap your feet. So it's a tie between Stevie
It's a toe
Vaughan.
Tapper.
It's a toe tapper. So it's a tie between Stevie Ray Vaughan and the Arctic Monkeys. So those are mine. I don't want to.
What about MGMT? I remember
when we first started going to
the clubs, that shit was all over the place. What was that song that was the most famous?
Electric Feel.
Yes.
Electric Feel. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Back in 2005, 2006.
Shot me like an electric eel.
That shit was
honorable mention, and I know Don hates them, but an honorable mention is Coldplay. Coldplay, I loved in the military. I was. I did love Coldplay. I love Coldplay. And Don, I remember we got into it because he was like, you know what? I could get into this band if they weren't always talking about, oh, their music is going to save the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Coldplay. I love Coldplay. So that's an honorable mention. So those are mine.
Wow. Well, what a great response. Yeah. Good job, John.
Very good. That's a very eclectic
list.
Hey babies, you liking the show? Well, thanks. Leave a 5-star rating and a comment, please. Do you want to see the guys' faces? Well, they got YouTube videos. It comes out every Wednesday before the episode comes out on Friday. You can watch this podcast on any major platform you listen to. Rate 5 stars and comment. Thanks, babies.
Okay, this is 13-year-old John. Out of all those songs you mentioned, 13, 14. You said high school was your formative years when it comes to music? Or no, you said college.
Yeah, college was more of my formative years because that's when I was hanging out with you guys. You guys were playing different music and I started absorbing that.
Yeah.
Especially through Rock Band. Rock Band really got me.
Video games in general. They just started using all of this music, like we were saying off air. All of these influxes of new media that are like drawing from our childhood, people that were born in the 80s or the 90s, and putting them like TV shows like Stranger Things or new.
Yeah.
They're really trying to go for that nostalgic vibe. And one of those video games I remember from my childhood that really started doing that was Grand Theft Auto. Like Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas, they had a bunch of music in there that I've never heard of. And just the concept of Grand Theft Auto is basically mayhem. You're fucking around and stealing cars and destroying property and killing people all willy-nilly. But in the middle of that, they had this fucking soundtrack in San Andreas that had a huge, well, at the time, a huge like mixtape when you would get in one of those cars and the video game radio would just pop up. And a lot of those songs I've never heard of, like Alice in Chains for the first time, Stone Temple Pilots, and they would put these in these video games. And that's how I heard this for the first time, and I just started liking it because even though those songs were in the game and it was a lot of them, you know, they would loop. In those video games, you can choose the radio station you wanted to listen to. That's how great those Grand Theft Auto games were. But so if you listen to the rock station, you hear like 5 rock songs and like Stone Temple Pilots, Alice in Chains would be on it. But I'm sorry, this is about you, John. This is I understand what you're saying. I would get these songs from different media like movies.
Yeah.
A director or the production would decide to put this song on this scene. And then that would have me go to the end credits just to see what song that was. And I'll write it down. Napster was... or Kazaa back then, you would like try to go quickly and download it and download viruses to your computer because you didn't give a fuck. And find these songs, put it on a mixtape, and then when you go out during the weekend, you burn these CDs that takes like an hour or two because your computer is too goddamn slow. And then you finally pop them out of your computer, get a marker, write Don's mix 2 or staff mix 3 or whatever you put in. And then right when you get to the club, you be bumping that shit. Oh, man. Miss those days.
Man, I remember I got into Napster late. I always hit the knockoff recordings for the sites for recording. I didn't do Napster. I did like other little sites. I can't think of them right now, but
I remember Napster, Morpheus, and Kazaa, like Kazaa.
Yeah,
I remember those sites. And then it kind of branched on to like torrent sites where you would just like, hey, did you guys ever do that?
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry, I'm still here, everyone. I'm sorry.
They ain't missing you. Like, they talk. Hey,
don't worry. I have important things to say. Don't worry.
We're talking to America. No. They want to hear from the black congregation today.
The black delegation.
Yeah, the black delegation.
The black delegation.
Yeah, man. I mean, hell, even, I don't know about you, John, but in the very beginning of my like upbringing, even though I'm not into this as much now, but even church music was a big thing. Like you would go to church, hear the choir, and they would have these sing-song worship music, and they would stick in your head, too. I mean, I wasn't making mixtapes of that shit, but that was formative to me because, yeah, they were very easy.
C.J. Johnson actually is one that my mom had their album.
Oh, you better run, better run, better run. You better run.
They stick in your head, man.
See, that takes me to church, dude. That was what my
but
church
But you remember
was.
That.
Crazy,
yeah.
Crazy enough, my mom knew who Dr. C.J. Johnson was, and I played this episode of a TV show, and it brings me back to True Detective. She heard it, and she recognized it. But it's in there. So, like a soundtrack in general, a song that can be so like sweet and like Tiny Tim-ish, whatnot, you could put it in a horror film and then it have a whole totally different meaning. This one, Dr. C.J. Johnson and True Detective, kind of like gave this aura of like creepy South, like crazy religion-esque thing. So it's like music could be interpreted in different aspects when put into different areas, you know, like a horror film, action film. God. A lot of the older songs, too, like what you were saying, John, they're being reused. They're coming out. See, I didn't listen to that type of stuff, like the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
That whole soundtrack. Like, most of the music that was on there, I never listened to.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, you're getting into Bowie and all this stuff. And I listened to it when I was a teenager, but I didn't, you know, like, didn't listen to it while I was a kid. And then I'm thinking, like, well, technically, what did we listen to in high school? And then I thought back, this takes me to like freshman year of high school. ICP. I listened to ICP. Yeah.
That's the least surprising thing.
I'm not knocking you.
No,
it's just I never got into ICP because all I knew about ICP was they didn't like Eminem and Eminem didn't like ICP. That's all I knew.
So that's where I first started. You go into like trap and then I'm listening to like Lifehouse and oh my God, so horrible. And this is the segue. We're jumping into my story. The first song.
Number five. That
basically, I can remember where my whole musical taste changed and it just became different. It was different. It felt different. I wasn't as miserable. I wasn't listening to teeny angst stuff, but I remember watching some type of, it was a video on a computer. Someone had looked it up. I'm watching it and it sounds older. The video looks like there's a filter that's making it look older. And then all of a sudden I hear this.
Thank you.
The Strokes last night. I heard that. That was the first kind of video that I saw, and not the first music video I ever saw, but the first video that I saw where I was like, I want to be a part of that. If I could in some way be a part of that, at least dressing or listening to the music, that was it. And that is where music for me completely changed. It wasn't just something to listen to, I don't know, like on a radio, maybe having it like in a Walkman, but not really paying attention to what's being said. If I didn't hear this song, if it didn't come out at the exact moment when it should have, I would be listening to, I don't know, the B-sides of Limp Bizkit right now, if there were any. So
what was it, year like 99, like high school, early high school?
Yes, it was high. Yeah, it was early high school for me. And because let's see here, I think senior year Room on Fire came out, and I think it was junior year or sophomore, end of sophomore year is when I think this came out, maybe 2001 or two. I don't know. And then a lot of the memories that I have that are equate to music, a lot of them do derive out of high school, like teen angst, like the whole world is yours type of thing, and not a fucking care in the goddamn world. Going out, hanging it with your friends, you know, love on the horizon, maybe the future, you don't know what holds, and then you realize it's a fucking nightmare.
That's how MGMT was for me. They got this song. Let's get some coke.
That's the same album.
Yeah. It's a song where you think you're going to live forever. You just on the edge of life. You don't give a damn. You know, you're just like, I'm going to die young, but I'm going to live fast. So something like that. So I hear you on that. Yeah.
But like with that, it wasn't so much, I don't know, it was a dreamlike state for me because, you know, we would be fucking smoking weed and driving through fucking cornfields and shit. And the next memory I have is in my buddy's truck, and he puts on this album and he's like, hey, you can have this when we're done. And I'm like, well, you don't even know if I'm going to like it. And he just looks at me. He's like, you're going to like it. And then puff, puff, pass. And then all of a sudden, this motherfucker plays.
Number 4.
That is Radiohead, Kid A, Everything in Its Right Place. And you have that playing, and now there's lyrics with it too, but like you have that playing, you imagine driving a truck, just you're with, you know, your best friends. And it was like, I think if I remember correctly, Greg, Phil, possibly Andy, which we'll get to a little later, and then my brother, because I hung out with my brother all the time. Him and I are, you know, best friends. And we would just be driving like further north into, well, if you're from Michigan, Macomb area, and drive around there because we had nothing to do. And we just stayed up all night, you know, like we driving around, maybe getting into trouble every now and then, but nothing. Like we'd end up at a Coney Island or a Denny's, fucking smoke cigarettes all night, drink coffee.
Damn, in high school?
We'd go up. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, dude. Sound like a
that wasn't day. That's not irregular, because in my high school people in that group would hang out like that. All the guys who would drink and smoke, they would stay out late and do that. I was never in that group
because
my parents were helicopter parents, so I was never one to go out and do that. But like I told you guys before, I'm fascinated with weed culture. I am
weed every day.
Get into it.
I can't, man.
Come
because
on
of
in.
The line of work I'm in, man.
Oh.
Hey guys, if you like to see us in the flesh, we have video highlights of our episodes we release on every Wednesday before the new episode that comes out Friday. As always, you can catch this podcast on any major platform you listen to podcasts. Please make sure to rate us 5 stars and comment on how you're liking the show.
After School Special Podcast.
It's this lady and she's like, hi, welcome to my vagina.
After School Special Podcast.
What robot pet starts out speaking a unique language, but eventually speaks English? Gloopy? What the fuck is a Gloopy?
Podcast comes out every Friday. Well, anyways.
So high school was your formative years. Like, middle school, you didn't really connect with music like that.
No.
You can't think of a flashpoint like, holy shit, I remember in 96, this shit happened. I got my first finger blast. This song was playing in the background or no, nothing.
Would it be more fair to say that movies influenced you in your earlier years while music came in later years?
Yeah,
because you know, you had your blood in, blood out years, and then you had and then you had your music that you're listening to now or then.
Yeah, I think you're right, because a lot of the music I was listening to before, like, I remember that the Strokes, like, I remember that so vividly and how it just changed everything for me, because all the music I was listening to, it wasn't that, you know, for some people it's good. I don't like it now. I can't do that new rock stuff, Chevelle or any of that, Trapped, whatever. I could never listen to it. And all my buddies, most of them listened to it, but there was always Greg. Greg was the one that, he was my best friend at the time, and he's still really good friends with my brother. I owe a lot of my music tastes from him. And so, just to segue into the next one,
number three.
One song, this is also a high school song, but it started playing right after something really, really bad happened. And Andy, who I had mentioned earlier in the story, I think it was in May, he murdered his mother, father, and brother. And I remember when I had gotten a phone call, and I was the first one to get a call, and I wasn't that great of friends with Andy anymore because he was having a mental breakdown. I could see it, but he wasn't getting any help. So I'm like, well, I can't be a part of this. So I kind of started to separate myself from him, because him and I were really close for a summer where we just hung out all the time. And I met his, you know, his parents. His mom made us like French toast, I think. So I remember getting the call and just like falling to the floor and everyone coming over. And then we were driving in Greg's truck, and then this started playing. And the other thing too was with that story, it played after we had found out, because we originally thought that he was the one that died, that his brother was the one that did it. It was reported incorrectly that day. And then the next day there was like a retraction. It's like, actually it was Andrew who killed the three people. Man. And then it just kind of like went a little crazy there for a couple days. I heard that, and then, you know, shit, man. Like, there were people coming out saying, like, trying to support Andy, telling us four specifically, and I won't even be a part of it, but telling my brother and Greg, hey, you need to go visit him in jail and talk to him. You know, like, he needs you right now. And Greg and Tyler and myself were all just like, no, fuck that. He's a murderer. Like, he can get help in there. But all these fucking people doing that, I remember hearing that song. This is a comedy podcast, right?
I'm having a great time.
You're learning more about me. Man, I'm an open book, bro. If you ask me a question, anyone can ask me anything, and I will give an honest answer, or an answer that is honest but stretching the truth a little bit to make it funny or tall tale-ish, like how I have a 9-foot dick.
But I was going to tell you, the song that changed everything for me was in high school. Cisco came out with a novelty song called Thong Song.
Oh, my God.
That changed everything, dude. I remember that video when it first came out on MTV, brand spanking new video. And when it came out, I remember calling my classmates, and we were all watching it. And I was like, this song changes everything.
That song, John.
Because of the video for it was just, I was just like, oh my God, like, what is this? Cisco, man. I don't know what it was about Cisco. Yes!
Baby!
Yeah!
Make the booty go, oh!
Yeah.
All right, I'm done. Cisco. Oh, my God.
Cisco, man.
I thought that you were going to say the DMX one with Cisco.
That was another one that was really good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was another one that was really good. But
damn, so all your songs are like connected to trauma, Aaron?
I'm not done yet. God. Two more.
Did the black people just take over? Oh, shit. My bad.
You've had your turn.
I'm in my element, man.
Yeah. Well, this one has no trauma with it. Actually, the last two don't have. Well, no, that's not true.
Oh, boy.
One of them does. I love all music except for some R&B and new country. I love all music. And there was one song that kind of changed the way that I looked at it, because I'll be honest with you, I wasn't into the thong song as everyone else was. or, you know, like Ludacris and that music. I was more into like Gangstar and Blackstar and
Slum Village. You ever heard of Slum Village? No, Slum Village.
Yeah.
Slum Village.
Jesus Christ. I can't even get my Detroit artist right. Slum Village.
Yeah, like Mos Def.
Common back in the day.
Common was one. KRS-One.
Yes.
But the one group that stood out for me was, well, I'll just play the song for you and then I'll.
Number two.
I like the
That is Jurassic 5.
Okay.
And that Tribe, that's actually like soon after that, I started bringing in more of this music. This was like around when I met you guys, before I met you guys. And the music that was coming in from Urban Outfitters, I was listening to all this stuff. And that was pivotal for me because it opened up my eyes to what music could be. Hip hop, whether it be techno, whether it be some stuff that kind of sounds similar to like 80s music in general, where I'm just like, okay, well, that's a straight copy from Duran Duran. But, and then going into it, that's the one that's always been the mainstay for me. I always have that on any music device, any album I've ever had. Jurassic 5 has always been a part of that, specifically that album, Quality Control. So the last one in this story of pain.
No, it's a good, oh my God. No, I meant to ask both of you guys. So back in the day when we were making mixtapes, I mean, those tapes where you had to, you ever like splice out the reel in the tape, take it out and splice shit together? You ever do that? Okay. Yeah, I guess I was doing weird shit back then as far as.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
Yeah, because there was a little thin film in the tape and people might notice that we're talking on this podcast and they're listening. I don't know why I phrased that sentence like that. But if you're old enough, sometimes that film would just snap. So you either had the option. I mean, some of these mixtapes took months and months or weeks of recording from the radio or recording from wherever you duplicated your mixtape from. And then to have it just snap like that, it's like, fuck, what do? You break apart the tape, not break it, but you take it apart, you splice it together. I did this with like tape. And then it would just work again. And I found out later on, that's what musicians and producers used to do. Those reel-to-reel tapes, when they were the old way of recording music, they would just splice together shit like that. Or even radio. Okay. Yeah, they would do. That's how they would do it. I was just doing it, and I didn't know.
I never thought of that, because they do that in film. Like with
I would do that.
With the old film.
Yeah, because it was like, fuck this. You think I'm going to go weeks and weeks of trying to get this music again? That was back before I had, you know, I didn't have any money. My mom, we were poor. Yeah. We weren't going to the store. But yeah, I would make mixtapes like that. But my whole point, did it ever get to the point where you had like a hip hop mixtape, a R&B mixtape? Don had a heartbreak mixtape where you, like, you know, when your first heartbreak and you get sad and you just have this list of songs you had on the tape or your CD where you listen to, or your hype songs. Like,
well, Don, I didn't make mixtapes because I don't steal from musical artists. I buy their albums. Donald.
You weren't poor enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody did that because I did the same.
You didn't burn CDs?
Oh, 100%.
That's what I made.
I made VHS copies. We used to record the TV movie, The Stand. Like, my mom used to record all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we'd rewatch it.
My dad did that. He would record VHS on VHS, certain TV movies that would come on.
Yeah.
So, dude, that was the norm back then.
Yeah, that was the norm. Like,
there's no way around that.
So, like, in your car, you would have this, instead of saying mixtapes, mix CDs, where you have Aaron's mix and you had your little, your rock songs. And then the other mix would just be full.
It'd be like Big Booty Bitches.
Yeah, Big Booty Bitches. Like, you go into the club, it'll boom, 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 boom. Or if you
y'all give me a hard time about Thong Song. Are you kidding me, man?
Yeah, you kind of deserve that one. Like, if I go in your club.
Changed everything, dude.
That changed everything.
I can still watch that video today, and I'm, like, still stunned by, this was on MTV, man.
Oh, shit, BET After Dark, John. You just wake up and be like, oh, shit, the tip drill with Nelly.
Oh, my God. That was another one.
Aaron, do you know anything about BET After Dark?
I do not.
Oh,
I do not. The
buddy.
Only time, I will be honest with you, the only time I watched BET was, I think, for Martin episodes and then Black Panther.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fairly recent. So you weren't watching 106 in Park or Rap City, The Basement with Tigger.
Tigger, yeah.
Nope, I was not. I was watching golf.
Or even TRL when they had the countdown, those countdown shows. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I would learn about new music, and when too, John.
The reason why I said golf was I just tried to think of the whitest thing I could think of, and golf was...
It's pretty up there. Is that the whitest thing? Can we do a top five on the whitest things?
Let's see here.
Golf is number one.
Mayonnaise.
I love mayonnaise, man.
I do, too. We should... Okay, John. We should love Miracle Whip or anything else.
I like mayo.
And that's the number one reason why we are friends.
Yeah, I like mayonnaise.
Best friends.
I grew up with Miracle Whip. I did grow up with that. It's a little sweeter. Did you ever have that, Aaron? Miracle Whip?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tangy.
Oh,
yeah. It's a lot more tangy.
It's a little sweeter.
They built themselves upon tang.
Yeah, the blacks, we like the tang.
So, the last one I got.
Number
this
one.
As if you have been a long-time listener, know that I went through a tough time in 2018 and had a mental health crisis. But I came out of it unscathed because I seeked help, talked to people, and got through it. And I am still here and happy to be here. But I remember this song in particular. And the thing that sucks about this song now is that TikTok took it over. Like, you hear everyone doing anything that's like drama related, this song plays, and it pisses me off so much because it's such a good song and it's being ruined by these
TikTokers. TikTokers.
These fucking young Zers, Zoomers, Zabras. All right, here we go. Yeah, so not exactly the greatest thing to listen to when you're having a mental health crisis.
No.
I was going to say.
But it's still a very beautiful song. And
not
it
very therapeutic.
Goes back. For me, it's extremely therapeutic. And a lot of the songs, Donald, that I listen to, Donald, a lot of the songs that I listen to have a lot of pain because I think it makes me, in the present, grateful for what I have right now and where I've come from. And so those songs kind of make me who I am and kind of piece me together as a person. There's a lot of good, there's a lot of bad, and you know, I'm not done yet. I'm only 38 years young, and I look like I'm 58.
Aww. This is not a test.
We'll return after these messages.
'94, the concert you've waited your whole life for.
Mr. and Mrs. Michael Jackson, Honeymoon in Hungary, on hard copy.
So Dave, how was San Francisco?
It was great. Did you drive across the Golden Gate Bridge?
No.
Did you see Alcatraz?
Is that there?
Well, what did you do?
I found this sourdough roll.
Introducing Wendy's Sourdough Bacon Cheeseburger. It's a San Francisco-style roll stuffed with a quarter pound of fresh beef, Monterey Jack, bacon, and Dijon sauce.
Reminds me of when I was in San Francisco. I met this sailor.
Hey, look at the time.
Gotta go.
Yes, well, we only went to the library.
You can find it in San Francisco and at any Wendy's.
Now, back to our story.
But okay, yeah, that's what I meant. Like those pivotal moments, the happy one mixtape.
You really didn't give your top three. I didn't
Number buddy. Five. Elementary school, I was still into Michael Jackson. Thriller. That fucking album. That was one of those parent approved albums or parent approved songs. Everybody loved Michael Jackson back then. And Thriller was just haunting not only the 80s, and I mean that affectionately, haunting, but it was just. Even in the early 90s, like, people were bumping that shit. Like, it just came
even
on.
The 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that would come on when we started going into clubs. Thriller would still come on. And
yeah.
Those were clubs that were our age at the time, early 20s. So it's...
Well, we were, this past weekend, me and Don, went to a club.
Yes, we did.
That used to be like more 70s and 80s music.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, an older crowd. And then we go in there and they're playing music we listened to when we were in high school.
Aww.
And I felt old as shit. Actually, there were a couple people probably making fun of me because I just felt old, you know? And I think that's what made me drink more just to forget.
Oh, like, that made you drink more?
Old.
Well,
I can't take personal responsibility.
Hey, we were cutting it up in there. I had a great time. And the thing about it, those clubs, I used to hate it because they would play that music, the 70s and 80s music. And I'm like, man, I wish they would play more of our shit. And now they are playing more of our shit, but we feel old also, now.
Yeah, now that tells you that we're old as shit.
Give or take a decade. That's all good. Yeah. We look great. I don't know what you mean. But elementary school was still Michael Jackson, still teeny bopper type of music. Stuff that I would hear on TV shows that I was looking at the time. Like I said, Power Rangers, that type of stuff. Like that soundtrack you would hear on those type of shows. But I had an older brother. He wasn't living with us at the time. And this is around 92, 93, right when I was graduating elementary school. He came home in the summer and he would come home with a backpack filled with tapes and CDs. He was actually the first person I ever saw with a CD player. And my mom would be driving. We'd be driving somewhere. I don't know where. And while they were talking, he would let me listen to his CD player. First thing that I listened to on his CD player.
Number four.
Ready to Die by Notorious B.I.G. And thankfully, my mom didn't know that, but I was like, what the fuck is this? I come from Michael Jackson and this teeny bopper shit to I'm ready to die. Like, I'm just, it was like, whoa, shit. It was like almost watching porn for the first time, but for my ears, it was like, fuck you. That's how I like really got attached to rap, was through my brother and through his CDs. And then another one was 36 Chambers, Wu-Tang. He had
number
that shit too.
Three.
Shame on him. He tried to run game on it. I was like, oh shit, what the fuck is this? And they had the fucking martial arts skits. And that's another thing that they used to do really well back then. The skits in those rap albums, man. But
yeah,
Old Dirty Bastard Live and Uncut. And then he had Doggy Style with Snoop. Wu-Tang was November 93. Snoop Dogg was November 93. And I think Notorious B.I.G. I might be getting, that might be 94. But anyway, man, that was my elementary years. And then you have the movie soundtracks, Hook, Jurassic Park. That was like 93, 94. So that was my first flashpoint, that it went from movie soundtracks, teeny bopper shit, to Ready to Die, Snoop Dogg, like West Coast rap, East Coast rap, the jazz influence on East Coast rap, as opposed to the G-Funk style of the West Coast with Snoop Dogg. And then in middle school, well, about 95, 96, that's when shit changed too. Middle school, that's where puberty start hitting for us. You start seeing girls that you never pay attention to all of a sudden.
Careful, careful.
All of a sudden, you looked at them differently. The hormones were everywhere. But in the backdrop, that's where the music changed too. And that's where, and you know, later on, you kind of see like, oh, damn, you can see where people have broken households in the backdrop. 96.
Wait. What are you, broken homes? You can tell broken homes by.
Well, as far as like what they were allowed to dress as in middle school, like, you know, I went to an elementary school that you had to wear uniforms. And then in middle school, we didn't have to wear uniforms, at least in the school that I went to. So it went from uniforms to every fucking day is a fashion show in the middle school. That's when you knew who parents had money and who parents didn't. So the game changed for me where I didn't have to really care about that stuff. The best you could do is just wear expensive shoes. But then it switched to, no, man, you need a wardrobe in middle school or else you're going to get bullied. It was kind of sad. But the music kind of came with it. And then a lot of things started coming with it. Like, you started to notice kids selling drugs. It was just a weird time. But the music came with it. Tupac happened, 95, 96. Me Against the World. I remember that summer.
Number three.
Would you characterize yourself as somebody who was very angry before you went to prison?
Nah. But I was charming.
Then why were you always getting in all these altercations? I mean, something was going on.
I have spirit.
Spirit.
I have so much spirit, man, where no one else would do things, I would do it.
He dominated that year. 96 comes, dominating with All Eyes on Me. And that was the flashpoint. It went from just starting to like rap to like, yo, I want to do this shit. And Tupac, looking back on it, he was my John Lennon. It was like, I like this guy. All Eyes on Me came out in February of 96. And by September 13th, he dies.
Once again, Tupac Shakur dead at the age of 25 of gunshot wounds sustained Saturday night, September 7th in Las Vegas.
And that was the first time I, you know, experienced loss outside of my family. And it was like, what does this mean? It was just weird. But anyway, so you had All Eyes on Me. You had Nas. It was written. Nas. It was written. That was a big influence. Fuck yeah, man. Oh, and mid-90s rap was so fucking awesome. It made me want to even attempt to even think about, maybe I could rap when I'm older. But the flashpoint was definitely Tupac dying. Yeah, like I said, that was like black folks' John Lennon. It still is. I wasn't into rock then. High school, flashpoint, it was definitely the rock influence. That's when I started getting into it more. And that's when you had the mix CDs, you're burning shit. You're burning shit off Napster, fucking Kazaa. I was making mixtapes for money in high school, $5 a pop. was fucking excellent. I got into Jay-Z. That's when he started coming out with Reasonable Doubt. That was like 96, 97. But it's just in DMX, 98. College, when I met you, that's when I experienced The Rock. And a lot of that was influenced from the video games that we played, Rock Band, Grand Theft Auto, all that music was in here. So as much as I love playing games, it kind of indoctrinated me to like the music too, because it's like, damn, I like this game and the music is going really well with the game. So this is fucking awesome. And then I started living with my uncle in like 2005, and he was like, no, you need to fuck that. You think this new music like Linkin Park is good? Hybrid Theory, October 2000. Used to love Linkin Park. You need to start listening to Led Zeppelin. And that's when I started listening to Led Zeppelin in 2005. The first album with Dazed and Confused.
Number two.
Good. Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. I started listening to them. So when I started getting around you, you started getting me more into... I was kind of already listening to Radiohead, but I got into them even more with OK Computer. Then
Kid A, Amnesiac.
Yeah, Amnesiac.
The Bends.
Yep. Yeah, the flashpoints, man. I can remember vividly every fucking spring in college. Because I didn't even mention the big one for me, but fucking Nirvana. Oh, man. I was
number one.
In Bloom. In Bloom. When it starts getting warmer, the days are getting longer, and just right before summer break, I would just hear that song, In Bloom. Oh, so fucking good. And in the stores, like Barnes & Noble, they would have those music stations where you could sample songs 30 seconds at a time. I was just bored in between classes, and I would like, you know, at the time you had an MP3 player, and I think I had a cheap one. You can only put 50 songs on it. I'm getting tired of these fucking songs. So I would go to Barnes & Noble 30 seconds at a time, and I would just be there for like an hour listening to different music 30 seconds at a time. Oh, man, what a time to live in. Now you can get anything you want now on Apple Music or Spotify.
Yeah.
Like your fingertips. But I can romanticize about it now, because back then you really had to like search for the music. You really had to like. Search for,
especially if you're digging through like record bins and whatnot.
Yeah,
like the old school stuff, because a lot of the time they'll have it in alphabetical order. But yeah, that for me was the big thing. CDs really wasn't that big of a deal. But I remember, did you have a record store or anything that you would go to in particular? We had Rockabilly's in Utica, where I went to, but that place doesn't exist anymore.
In Detroit, we would have like Chinese-owned, Arabic-owned stores where they double as like, okay, this store technically is a hair store, but at the counter, they'll have these bootleg mixtape CDs. No, they still do. What am I saying? If you go to a gas station in Detroit, you probably can get a bag of Better Made Chips, the new Jurassic Park movie on DVD, and you can get like a mixtape from like a local artist that you don't give a shit about, but... That used to be the shit too, like the 2 for $5, and you're like, yo, let me get that DVD, that Girl 6 DVD, and let me get a pack of Newports. I don't know, I don't smoke. But you go home and watch these whack ass movies with people standing up, and like you can tell somebody, I mean the bootleg. I don't mean like it is now where, you know, they rip it from the actual source. No, I mean like people come in with the cameras into the theater. These are black produced bootlegs. So you know people talking. Oh, hell no. Shit. Like people talking at the screen. I'm like, oh my God. Why did I even buy this? But that was a way for us to, you know, get free movies at the time. Oh man, these young people don't know none about that. The struggle to find new music. I can romanticize about it because, like we're saying, like you really had to search for this shit. And when you did, even the bad songs, like I bought some albums, like physical CDs, and the album wasn't great. But because I anticipated this artist, his album release, like Nas, for example, like, oh, his new album coming out in October. I remember that date. I would go there to Sam Goody or local store, get the shit. And even if it was bad, it's like, no, I spent my money to buy this album. I'm going to like this album. But now it's so easy to get shit that if your music isn't great, like great, like music in our day, it was a slow burn. So you might not like a song or a particular album right away. Because remember, music back then was so hard to get because back then the artists, they weren't leaking out their songs. Mm-hmm. They would hold it close to their chest until it was finally able to be released, unless it was getting bootlegged. But other than that, you didn't hear anything until they released it. So a lot of those songs, you might not have liked it right away, but like if you keep listening to it for weeks at a time, you start liking that shit. And like, damn, this is a great fucking album. Do you have an example of that? Like an album you didn't really like at first, but then you just kept listening to it. Like, damn, you know what? I changed my mind.
Yeah. Godzilla soundtrack.
Really? No, really.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Why didn't you like it at first?
Oh, wait, no, I thought it was, I was doing no, the opposite. No, 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 no. I really liked it at first and now I don't like it.
Okay,
at all.
We can do that too. Like, yeah, I have a couple albums like that where I'm like, this shit is the best. Like John said with a thong song, this shit is the best. And then like a year later, like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like Limp Bizkit, I remember that.
I'm trying to think. Well, Limp Bizkit was one for me and that's like embarrassing along with the whole fucking ICP thing. And I'm just like, oh man, you had such terrible taste.
No, man, that's your gateway drug. It got you into the mode of at least the genre.
Yeah.
I went from, like I said, Linkin Park, even Kid Rock for a second. It just got me into the genre. And then once I backtracked, went to Nirvana, went to Metallica, went to those bands, it was like, ugh, what the fuck was I listening to? And then you can even hear the influence that those whack bands, they were influenced by, and it was like, okay, I see what they were doing. This is fucking cool. It's almost like a history lesson when you backtrack like that.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say real quick, it was Pink Floyd was my answer to your question.
Oh, The Wall?
I didn't really like, well, just in general, Pink Floyd.
Me
like,
either.
I didn't really like them at all to begin with, and now I absolutely love them. Yeah. Of
course. Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah. Yeah, duh.
Just like, and I'm still not into this band because they're more of a jam band, and I don't really like those bands. But the Grateful Dead, I know that's sacrilegious. Don't come at me, white people. I'm not into.
Yeah, they're gonna come at you with their fucking Birkenstocks and tie dye. Yeah, I don't like Grateful Dead. I don't like Fish. You know,
you like Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hootie and the Blowfish. They're not a jam band though.
Oh, I'm thinking of Dave. Is Dave Matthews Band a jam band?
Technically.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, not about it. Dude that plays violin, he's pretty cool.
You think, because we named three different media platforms where it kind of like pushed music we wouldn't ordinarily listen to onto us, like video games, movies, and I guess TV shows. Because it will be music in those TV shows, too, that I would never listen to. And I'd be like, wow, I kind of like this song. And back then, you would have to, like, look at the credits just to see what song did they play. Unlike today, where you can just put your phone up to it and it tells you what song it is. So the mixtape is now called the playlist, where you set up playlists. Or now they have algorithms where the playlist is sent to you. Like, you might like this, which is some bullshit. I don't want computers fucking dictating or telling me what I might like, even though 99% of the time they're right. That scares me.
See, all you got to do is just like throw in a couple, like, I don't know, you're listening to Barbra Streisand and then you have like Slipknot, and then, you know.
Oh, Bette so Midler, tricking the algorithm.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Slayer and then, I don't know, some other fucking death metal band, Blood Clot Cum. There we go. Well, sir.
Yeah.
I got to know more about you today. Yeah. Got to know more about Don. Got to know more about John. You guys now know what my therapist deals with every Sunday.
It's worse than I thought.
Yeah. But these are the songs that shaped us. This is kind of what made us who we are today. Songs are about emotion or about memories. It's just all encompassing when it comes to music.
Music has influenced flashpoints in history. Like, I know the Beatles was a huge thing that crossed over from Great Britain to America and then all over the world. Their chant of give peace a chance, if, you know, it was like during the Cold War, I know people in those countries that really weren't supposed to listen to that type of music, they would sneak and do it. I mean, my point is, music is so important for the messages in them and just how they make people feel. And usually, hope and love is the type of music that brings people together. And I like that type of music also, even with the gangster rap that I used to listen to, because back then gangster rap was just basically ghetto reporters and telling you what's going on in the hood.
I completely agree with you.
About 100%. What?
I don't remember.
Road trips. Well, another stunning finish. What's your mixtape, guys? This is After School Special Podcast, of course, with Aaron. I'm Double D. Staff man, he floated and went away to enjoy the Thong song. He was just so excited about that song, which is so weird because I did not imagine him saying that.
A thong song guy.
But, yeah, Cisco. But what's your mixtape, everybody? In Michigan, we got a lot of Chicago people, New York people, Texas people listening all over the world. Ghana. I saw some shit like that. Holy shit. What up, Ghana? What up, Germany? What's your mixtape? Now, originally I was talking about childhood mixtape, but really nobody was really making childhood mixtapes. Well, I was. I was making childhood mixtapes, but it doesn't have to be childhood mixtapes. It can be the most important mixtapes in your formative years or just in general.
What kind of music you like listening to while taking a shit?
Do you listen to the music when you take a shit?
Sometimes.
Here we go.
go ahead.
No, I was just saying, everybody around the world who listens to this podcast, send us your mixtape. What's your favorite mixtapes? Maybe we can do a poll. Maybe not. I don't know. We're going to judge who has the best mixtape. Maybe we'll put it on Twitter or on Instagram. I don't know. But hey, man, any shout outs?
No.
No. Everybody sucks. You're nobody's no, worthy it, of a
same
shout
thing
out.
Is always we want to give a shout out to the Quad Pro Quo podcast. As always, thank you for all the love you give our way. And just to the listeners, thank you all for being with us on this journey. Don, it's always a pleasure.
Hey everyone, it's Aaron from After School Special Podcast. Like what you hear so far? But don't forget to subscribe and download the show on whatever platform you get your podcasts. And just a friendly reminder, we have new episodes out every Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone.
I grew up with Miracle Whip. I did grow up with that. It's a little sweeter. Did you ever have that, Aaron? Miracle Whip?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tangy.
Oh,
yeah. It's a lot more tangy.
It's a little sweeter.
They built themselves upon tang.
Yeah, the blacks, we like the tang.